There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. There still is fallout from Iran and the potential deal. I mean, essentially, there is a deal, but the finer points we don't know. And they're hammered out, I suppose, throughout these next couple of months until the end of June. There is a lot of scuttlebutt on the Hill as to whether or not Congress is going to have a say in this. They're trying to have a say in this. So for now, that gets put, as I call it, in the parking lot. The Iranians are in the parking lot. The potential deal is kind of parked somewhere in the middle because it's non-binding. It's essentially non-binding, but it involves other power countries, I'll call them, of significance. And looking at the Middle East, where do we turn our back and who do we not want a war with? And the one thing I would say about keeping Iran close is the ability to monitor what's going on there. The only thing is, by letting the sanctions slip away, that takes a little leverage out. If more of the sanctions are dumped, then that lets down some of those walls, some of the incentive, let's put it that way. But there's a couple of different points of view on this, and you'll hear them as we move along through this hour. You know how I feel. I feel as though you need to keep Iran close. You don't want to get in a war with Iran, especially now at this point coming out of Iraq. We saw what happened there and what's happening in Afghanistan and the nonsense with ISIS, that we need to keep our thumbprint very visible, but at the same time, do we really want to open up that can of worms? And the answer is no, we don't want to do that. We want to be able to keep the Iranians, however, at arm's length. And if some kind of a deal would enable us to do that, I would say maybe that's a backdoor way in. Would I trust it? No. I would not trust it completely, especially thinking about Fordo, which is one of the facilities which is underground. And imagine, you know, the nukes and how many centrifuges they could have in Fordo. That's the more frightening to me, probably, of the two facilities. This is a big deal. The jury getting the bombing case, meaning what's happening in Boston. How many of you remember when you heard that there was an explosion at the Boston Marathon, and then you started to hear more of the details that there were actually two bombs, and oh yeah, they were pressure cookers, and they're looking for the people that they're not sure they're combing the area, and the wrong people were actually outed on Twitter, and then Twitter feeds broke stories about gunshots all over the place, not far from the Boston Marathon finish line, and Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed, the brother, who was one of the bombers, and Jokar Tsarnaev is now fighting for his life in a courtroom because his fate hangs in the balance after weeks of very graphic testimony, gut-wrenching, tear-your-heart-out testimony. As long as I live, I'll never forget somebody describing to me what the prosecutors did, which I think was brilliant in one sense, but talking about the 8-year-old boy who was torn apart literally at the finish line, just there with his family and tattered clothes and organs that exploded from his body, to emphasize, listen, don't try to shove down our throats that he had no idea what he was doing, and he was just following his big brother. Because he faces 30 criminal counts. 17 could bring the death penalty. His lawyers did try to do that whole puppet thing of the older brother, Tamerlan. Oh, he masterminded the attack, and he died during the shootout with the police. He was the bad guy. This was just the innocent, doe-eyed little brother. But looking at his Facebook and things that he was saying and the cold calculation, nah. They tried to say that it's not true what the government said, that it was just about following his brother, putting down his backpack. No, he put down his backpack knowing he was going to kill lots of people or rip them apart and ruin their lives. I mean, listen, he was in the middle of this. Even at one point, throwing bombs at the police before trying to escape. Remember, he ran over his brother trying to get out, trying to get away. So let's see what the verdict is. A lot of the victims have been in the courtroom. A lot of the victims have been there. They found him in that boat with a scrawled message. And I think they not only find him guilty, but this is a good case for the death penalty. In a very tough area, by the way, for the death penalty. But what happened on Boylston Street lives with so many. A bomb on his back, placing it down. Walking down, just putting it there, knowing full well he was a participant in what happened there. He was an equal partner with his brother Tamerlan. And you cannot say it was about being drunk with love for the brother and just doing what he wanted him to do. Ugh. And this trial started, if you remember, March 4th, so it's been over a month. The government's done a great job of outlining its case against him. His radicalization, the months, the years before the bombing, the attack when it happened, the whole thing. The carjacking. I mean, there was so much more to this. The shootout in Watertown, Massachusetts, which I talked about, the whole tweeting out stuff. And then finding him in a boat. And it was really, like I say, really graphic. So you have the jury. 7 women, 5 men. Who will ultimately decide, you know, what happens to him. Maybe it's life in prison. Maybe that's what it is. But who knows? I would say that the longer it goes on, the more chance you might get kind of a mixed verdict back. But I feel as though we'll have a wrap on this in the next day or so. You know, even as far as the penalty phase, they asked the jury to keep their minds open. And that's what the defense said. We know in the face of the heartbreak you've listened to and felt over the past months, it's a lot to ask. It is. And a lot of people thought that they couldn't get a, that Tsarnaev couldn't get a fair shot in a city where nearly everybody felt something was impacted in some way by the bombing or the aftermath. But I say, No way. We'll see. As we wait for that verdict. Coming up next, we're going to talk about energy and lifting the ban on crude oil, on exporting crude oil, and what that could do job-wise in this country. We're going to talk to Dan Kish. He's with the Institute for Energy Research about that ban and when it kicked in the 70s and how it's archaic, and if it were lifted, what it would mean to so many people in these United States. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up next on The Flip Side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
cases. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation.
Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Favorites, and he's in our virtual green room, although don't tell him it's a green room necessarily. They're for other reasons. Dan Kish is there, Institute for Energy Research. We're going to talk about crude oil exports, among other things. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm fine, Kate. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. And so one of the themes that always comes up with you and I when we're talking about energy, no matter what it is what about jobs and around oil stifling jobs that could really put a lot of Americans to work? And there's a ban in place that, unfortunately, I think, especially with what we're seeing going on now in the oil industry, is strangling and cutting off what would be jobs. Talk about the whole crude oil exporting that we're missing out on.
Yeah, well, you know, Kate, like so many things on the books, laws, we've got a lot of bad ones. And we, back in the 1970s, when the Arabs cut us off and we were importing more and more oil and all that, they put in place an export ban of crude oil. And seems to make sense, right? I mean, you haven't got enough at home. The last thing you want to be doing is shifting it abroad. At least that's the popular approach to it.
Sure.
That's still in place 40 years later. And what it means is that we're not producing as much oil as we could because it artificially decreases the price for oil right here that producers get. But we're... Well, let's put it this way. If we lifted it, all the studies show that we would increase production of oil here at home, creating more jobs, and it would actually have a downward effect on the price of gasoline that we pay at the pump. So it's a win-win situation all around. And because of the types of oil that we're producing, we produce too much of a certain type of oil that we could be exporting, and we aren't producing as much of the other type of oil, light sweet versus heavier and sour crude. You may have heard those terms before. Mm-hmm. And that's the real thing. So we've got a winner. We could put people to work. national security and our overall output and all the economic spinoff that comes from that, and yet it wouldn't drive up prices here at home.
And, of course, the we saw this in North Dakota. It's starting to happen. A lot of things are closing down. And, you know, there was a boom going on. And now because of what's happened, it's reversed itself. So this would be a way to kind of energize, if you will, really, the oil and gas industry in this country, which has been slammed. And we've lost a lot of jobs as a result of that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We you know, as the price drops, or as the price has dropped, people are beginning to lose their jobs in certain companies and support services and the like. That's fairly typical, but here's something we could do without harming anything. It would, like I say, it would reinvigorate the jobs in the field. People would actually get more for what they'd get paid more for a barrel of oil that's produced here at home, and yet the efficiencies would work out so that the gasoline prices didn't go up accordingly. So, you know, good all the way around.
Yeah, no kidding. And you talked about it because the ban, you go back to the 70s, and it was what people thought at the time was happening, which was the reason that ban was kicked into place. So how does this get kick-started on the Hill? I know there's been some conversations, but I don't think there hasn't been a real movement to push it, right?
Right. There's been a lot of talk, in the Senate. Folks have looked at the studies, various studies, and you know they're not just. Sometimes you can get studies that say what you want them to, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
This has been government studies. I mean, the Department of Energy has actually confirmed these studies. They've looked at it. They're independent analyzers, and like I say, there's been a large number of research studies that have gone into this. So I know that there's a growing chorus from some places. North Dakota is one of the classic places. It would actually lift the price they get. The other thing that would help, of course, is more pipelines being constructed. It helps the jobs that would be created by constructing the pipelines would be good, and then they would also get more money for their oil. They're currently getting less money than they would normally get for their oil because they're having to put it on trains because of lack of pipelines.
Yeah, and ultimately, wouldn't this push kind of the use of natural gas? I mean, wouldn't that be maybe if this was all turned around, wouldn't that be one of the things that we would see?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we're seeing now, one of the things that a lot of people aren't aware of is that the natural gas, we're producing huge amounts of natural gas, and we're getting it at a very, very low rate in the U.S. right now. Prices are way low. A lot of people who are producing natural gas to keep those prices low were willing to do it because sometimes you get oil and gas combined. And when the price of oil was higher, they were able to basically pay for producing the natural gas by selling the oil that came along with it. Now that the price of the oil has gone down, it's become less attractive to produce the natural gas as well. And so there's a fear that at some point here we're going to, instead of having large quantities of natural gas, reduce the amount of natural gas we're producing. And then we start feeling it in our electric bills. We've had a comeback of the American chemical industry. We're building chemical plants in the United States and plastics, manufacturing petrochemicals, those sorts of things. Really good jobs, really good investments. Billions of dollars of investment by companies and people. And as long as those prices stay low, you've got those sort of positive economic outcomes. And if that begins to slide because of this, then you lose out on that economic input too.
Yeah, and you mentioned this about the pipelines and talking about the pipelines, and you and I have talked about the Keystone pipeline and what's happened there. I think there's no way during this administration it goes through. I'd be really surprised. But whoever comes in next, and I guess that's a big question mark, I think the Canadians, I've had many conversations with people across the border that as much as we hear these little threats about China and whatnot, they really want this to be the United States. I think eventually it gets done, but the more we drag this on, the less viable or less attractive it could become. But also we're missing out on those jobs that we're talking about, right?
Well, yeah, we're missing out on both sides of the border, actually. The wonderful thing, Kate, about Canadian oil that comes across our border, and a lot of it does, we're their number one, they're our number one importer, is that unlike oil that's produced in the Middle East or Venezuela or places like that, there aren't a lot of jobs in America associated with that. But all of those investments in Canada, the oil fields themselves, the oil sands and all the products, or all the steel and the engineering that goes into it, that all comes from the United States. So we get about, unlike any place else we get oil from, about 80 cents on the dollar that is involved in that Canadian oil actually comes back to the United States. So there you have a win-win situation, too, which, again, begs the question about why the president hasn't seen this to be in the national interest. Maybe he's not aware of that. I think that's immaterial at this point. He just, the environmentalists don't want more oil produced, and he's told them that he's going to support that position.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this a lot, too. The problem is you talk about alternatives, and it sounds great, but it's not affordable. I mean, it would be crazy. What's being proposed now would be insane on electric bills. You know, you talk about electricity and the options for the American people, and the options are not very good when you look at those alternatives, because unless you're a movie star and you make a ton of money, or you're Larry David and you're writing for movie stars, you can't afford that, right? It's not really affordable.
Right. Well, I mean, all we have to do is look at Europe. Germans pay three times as much for their electricity as we do. So take your electric bill, triple it, and you get an idea of what it would be like when you've got that sort of approach to electricity. I, by the way, I should hasten to add that the Germans are trying everything under the sun to try to figure out how to overcome this problem, because they've worked themselves, they've painted themselves into a corner with these policies.
Exactly.
And we have the opportunity to not make that, you know, to learn from someone else's mistakes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the president and his administration seems to only be pushing harder and harder and harder on these policies.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. All right, Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research, thanks so much for coming on.
Kate, always a pleasure. Thank you.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try heart and body extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
Kate, 855-266-5283, or send us an email at americatonight.net. And once again, the mailbag is full. Lots of emails about everything from Jokar Tsarnaev and what he should get and what you think the jury will ultimately come back with, to some fallout on Iran and whether or not we should cut any deal with the Iranians. On that note, let's skedaddle and check those mails.
You have mail, mistress.
Yes, that's emails, plural, by the way. All right, so this one from Lauren, who says, Kate, I think I've never seen anything as sad as listening to the stories, even though they were so courageous, of the people who had to battle back from losing two legs or losing part of a leg or whatever it might be, and then the stories of the families who lost loved ones because of that bombing in Boston. It is almost pure luck or God's intervention that more people actually weren't killed. And I remember well into the night watching what that happened in that chase to try to hunt down and find the people responsible, and then how it all turned out in the end. I guess that's my roundabout way of saying it'd be a crying shame if they don't level the death penalty at Jokar Tsarnaev, who thumbed his nose at the people in Boston. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's a tough place for the death penalty. I can't imagine that he isn't found guilty and he doesn't get at least life. But death penalty is tougher, I think, in mass, but maybe not, because of the way the prosecution presented its case. I'll tell you, they did a really good job of pulling at the heartstrings, which they should have, because this was the reality. The little boy who was ripped in half, who should have still been on this planet, going to school, and the loss of innocence and what that did to his family, and, you know, so many other stories. It wasn't one story. It was 1,000 stories, because for each person, it affects so many other people. And just the cold, calculated way with the pressure cookers and how they, you know, where they put them down and then what happened afterwards. So I'm going to say I can't imagine that they won't. The jury will not find him guilty, at least. Okay, there was a lot of comments about what is going on in Boston, but I'm going to take one more. And this one comes to us from Hal, who says, Kate Delaney, it's been a long time since I've spoken with you. I don't know if you remember me, but I used to be a photographer who worked with you in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was so excited to find your show. I've been downloading it, and I will call the show on a night when I'm not working. But I've listened to some of the guests and others that you've had on to talk about Tsarnaev and what happened in Boston. I know that you had on a guy that ran in the marathon, I think, that does something else. Maybe he's a security guy. And I think those personal stories and the way that the Tsarnaev brothers planned this absolutely lends itself to a guilty verdict. I don't think in Massachusetts he's going to get the death penalty, but life in prison. And he needs at least that, in my opinion. And I do not believe that this jury will come back with some other verdict. Yeah, I agree with you, Hal. And hello, by the way. Handy Hal. Yep, he used to be my photographer. And this is back when I was doing television news, so He's seen a lot of miles in different places, probably like me. So I agree with what Hal says. I mean, you know, it's what I've been echoing the whole time. But we won't know. With the quicker, the faster the verdict, I guess the better way to say it, is handed down, I think more of a chance that, boom, this is open and shut. We looked at the evidence. There's no way. I think the struggle in the penalty phase is with the death penalty. And sometimes their prosecutors are reluctant to even say that this is a possibility because they don't want to get stuck in that. They don't want to get stuck in people thinking in their head before they get there what happens and is this death, you know, that whole thing, wrestling with their own demons over it. All right, how about this one? This one is from Dan, who says, Kate, did you see the story about the Rolling Stone and the fact that now they're going to be sued by that college after what they reported? I mean, what a crazy blunder that was. The University of Virginia, they're having none of it. And now that whole story has been discredited, and it shows pretty shoddy reporting, I think. You know, that was a crazy deal. I mean, it's weird that that whole thing was discredited. And now it is true. The Rolling Stone is supposedly going to be sued, but it's the blunder of how it was reported, the way, I guess it was edited, you know, the Rolling Stone is saying that it's the way it was put together, the way it was edited. They say they're not going to fire anyone, they're not going to reorganize anything, they're not going to do anything. But the story, and I read it, because I get the Rolling Stone. I get it in the mail. It's one of the few magazines I get in the mail. And the story was a rape on campus, and it was pulled from the website. But it was so popular after it came out in print, too. Almost 3 million people or 3 million hits it got online, more than any other story in their history that wasn't about a celebrity. Because they do a lot of course, musicians, things with musicians and maybe other celebrities that aren't musicians, but a lot of times they're tied to music. So this had nothing to do with that. I remember there was this undergrad that they called Jackie, so it was an anonymous deal, and then talked about going to this party at the Phi Kappa Psi frat in 2012, but was beaten up and gang raped by seven boys who were coached in the attack by the same student, by somebody who had invited her to the party, and it was horrific. I mean, the allegations, there was all kinds of protests about the fraternity. There was a police investigation. They suspended all fraternities at the school. There was debate about violence on college campuses, which is true. There is a problem with that. But this just intensified. It really, you know, pushed the heat up on it a notch. And it unraveled. I mean, it unraveled when they started to look at it closer and found that, yeah, there's things that are not being reported correctly here. And there was a Washington Post reporter who was digging into it. So it was, there was lots of lapses in what would normally or should have been there. Things that weren't verified and things that were a little flaky. So, you know, nobody's being disciplined. Nobody's getting fired. None of that's happening, and that's infuriated a lot of people. So we'll see where that ends up in court. All right, I kind of went down a rabbit trail here, but I have that magazine. I remember reading the story. I think we talked about it on the air, and I said, just here we go again, and how terrible it was. And it seemed like when you read it, it definitely read as though, yeah, there's these witnesses and there's so many specific things in this. And apparently there was a lot of problems with it. Let's put it that way. Here's one from Jake in Austin who says, why do we even care about Congress and this Iran deal? I think that we need to try to have some kind of a diplomatic deal with the Iranians, although like you, Kate, I really wouldn't trust it because of things that have happened in the past, but that doesn't mean you don't want to keep one of your worst enemies close to keep an eye on what they're doing. I say, you know, why not do that? Why not keep them close? It makes complete sense to me. In the world of politics, especially the sidestepping that happens whenever we're talking about the Middle East. Yeah, you know, we're going back to the same thing. If I'm the Secretary of State, and I have my list, and the conversation is over. How do we keep our eyes on Iran? What is it that we can do? You know, some people think, why are we even doing this? You know, if you look at Iran and the deal and getting a nuke, who's to say that we should tell them not to get a nuke? I've had somebody tell me that just the other day. And here's the thing. So, if it's going to fall into somebody's hands, remember that used to be what people talked about. Oh, the mad bomb, there's going to be a mad bomber because this is, you know, as many nukes as there are out there, the wrong people get their hand on it. That's what's going to happen. So if we really still sort of believe that, then you have to keep tabs in some way. But then you have to say to yourself, really, you think they're not going to mislead you if you're going to go and do the weapons inspection, but you're, you know, inspecting for centrifuges. There's not going to be anybody misleading. There's not going to be a secret place where they're working on something. I mean, isn't the world about secrets? I got to think it's not going to be open arms, baby, whatever you want. Here, let's show you all of our files. You got it all. Look at it, whatever you want to look at. I'm thinking not so much. Not so much. All right, as we zig and zag in a couple of different directions, coming up on America Tonight. Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum. Everybody wants to be president, right? No, a lot of people don't want to be president. But there are a few getting ready to say, count me in. I'd like to be president. We're going to tell you about the latest comings and goings in the Democratic side and the Republican side of things as we shake up the snow globe next on ATN. We'll be right back.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit to per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
At the Galt House Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. Probably going to lay down an interesting, I would say, 40 minutes or so at least to outline what he stands for. One of them is medical marijuana. So get your hands off of our pot. That's one of the things that he feels very strongly about legalizing medical marijuana, which it is in many, many states, but really streamlining that process so it won't be shocking to hear him talk about it, but that's not going to be high on the list. I think there's going to be many other things that Rand Paul will talk about. And he appeals certainly to libertarians, but will he appeal to a broader base and younger people, and will the younger people go out and vote? And he certainly has had a voice in the last 6-7 months. I mean, maybe even before that, when he was first elected and how he got elected and, you know, whatnot. He's a former guest here on the show. And he talked about one of the things that I feel really strongly about. And he's not the only candidate. A lot of candidates are saying this now. But the idea that you have to have a waiting period to actually read. Can you imagine what novelty this is? To actually read the legislation you're voting on. You mean I have to know who, what, where, when, and why? Instead of the broader strokes, it's like the Cliff Notes version. Well, I didn't read the whole affordable health care plan. I didn't read all of that because, I couldn't do anything else if I read it. I love the idea to have that happen. And now it is. Now it is happening more on the Hill, but I think there'll be also a push for what he thinks is the solution to the immigration problem. We'll see. But Ted Cruz came out swinging and set the bar high for the way he delivered his entry into, his opening salvo, his entry into the race, his speech. It was right on. Totally knew it, totally had it in his head, wasn't fumbling around for words, for whatever. And Rand Paul certainly knows how to speak, but it was just astonishing the way he was able to do that. Nothing on a teleprompter. Zippo. Zip. Who's next? Hillary Clinton has moved up her timetable. Within this two-week cycle, Hillary Clinton is expected to just to make it official. Look, we know she's the presumptive nominee. That's not a secret. But she hasn't said it. There's always the shuck and jive. That sounds interesting, so at least that'll be over. Once she makes it official. And then with the Republicans, there's just a slew more to come. I don't think it's going to slow down. I think the pipeline is just going to just keep building and building and building. Because there are a lot of Republicans who are interested in jumping in. So you have Cruz and Paul, which we knew. We knew this was going to happen. But who else, like Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas? He's salivating at the chance to jump into this, but has to find the right time. Everybody always looks at Donald Trump as to whether or not he's going to jump in, because there's always that rumor, Donald Trump's talking about running for president, Donald Trump says he's going to do it. Why would Donald Trump do it when he can pull strings in the sideline and say how messed up things are? I don't see it. And Florida is you think of the states that are in play. What are the big states? Well, the states that mean so much. Ohio, usually, what do they say? So goes Ohio, so goes the election. Florida, huge sway in Florida. In fact, that's where a lot of money washes in. And the former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, is pretty good at raising that money down there. He's getting millions and millions of dollars from mega donors. But what about other candidates? Well, check this out. During the 2012 presidential election cycle, Florida came in second as the best source of money from donors. They gave $31 million to Republican candidates, and they think the number's going to be way bigger in 2016. And the other big donor states are the usual suspects: New York, California, Massachusetts. Florida Senator Marco Rubio has a fundraiser on Tuesday to raise money for his campaign committee and leadership PAC. And a lot of the people that will attend will include pro-Israel donors that are linked to Sheldon Adelson, who has a ton of money. But just because there's a link there doesn't mean that's who he's choosing. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has made a couple of visits into Florida trying to raise the money, and has done that. Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor, actually hired the former finance director of Florida Governor Rick Scott's reelection campaign and went to a mixer in Jupiter, Florida. And then there was a stop in Jacksonville by the former Texas governor, Rick Perry. He was trying to raise money. So Florida is a hotbed, especially for the Republicans. And this is something that even, Rand Paul will try to tap into it. Try to tap into the money spigot. And who will turn it on for him? I would think Jeb and Senator Rubio would have the best chance of doing well with the people there because they know them. They're known quantities. And by the way, they speak Spanish. And Rubio is going to announce his candidacy April 13th from the Miami Freedom Tower. So now we're seeing more of these dominoes are starting to fall and fall into place as to who's in and who's out. So the next couple of weeks are going to be really busy with declarations from the Republican side and Hillary Clinton declaring that she's going to run. And there could be some other, there have been names that have been thrown out. There could be some other Democrats, by the way, that decide they're going to run. It's not necessarily just Hillary and that's it, even though because she's the presumptive nominee, if you knew somebody was a shoo-in, I don't know, would you try to still be there in the race thinking, I know I'm popular, I know I can get some attention, and what if she drops out, then I would be the front runner, so maybe I'll just take a gamble on that race and pack money. There's got to be one or two, but who are the one or two? Who are the one or two? And by the way, we're going to end on this note. How about Chuck Schumer, who's not running? He's been suggested to run for president, which, wow, really? He's been on the, or in the Senate for such a very long time, and he certainly has a voice with the Democrats. And he has jumped right into this whole Iran debate. And he is, it's interesting, he thinks Congress should have a chance to reject the Iran nuclear deal, thinking they should have a role in it. So that's going against the grain and against the president, his own party, basically saying, "No, yeah, I'm not in on that." Because he absolutely has a huge voice. You got to think of Schumer, too, and what would be some of his reasons why. Schumer says that he supports the legislation introduced by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Corker to actually allow Congress to vote to suspend the lifting of the sanctions on Iran. And then he says this just shows you the enormous task ahead for President Obama and anyone on his team. Because, of course, there's no certainty anyway that Congress would reject a nuclear deal with Iran. There is bipartisan consensus that Congress should at least have the ability to do so. But I think the president doesn't want to see that happen. Like, no debate. We already have it in the door, and that's it. We don't want to debate this. We want this to just go through. And remember, the Republicans are talking about formally rejecting the president's push to lift the sanctions on Iran. And you would think that would kill the nuclear agreement. Any thoughts on the show, you can always send them to me, americatonight.net. Make it count.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.